some ways I was thinking it would be nice to hear stories about when you first came to camp. I was thinking I was probably 14, 15 when I came to camp for the very first time. It was a winter girls retreat. And I remember from Gordon, Sister Caroline. I remember Sister Inez and Sister Greedley. I remember they had the winter program because the guys were the waiters in the dining room. And we didn't eat in the palace in the winter time. In the winter time, we ate in what is Brother Tom and Sister Mary's dining room now, in their home. That was where the retreat meals were. I'll tell you a funny story. When I came to camp that year, it was winter, of course. And the girls were, doing activities. So we were walking out on the lake because it was frozen solid. And I broke the heel of my boot. And that was the very first introduction for me meeting Brother Tom. Because everybody said, oh, Brother Tom will fix your shoe for you, your boot. So he did. But I'm going to tell you a funny story, because we were in a prayer meeting that afternoon in the prayer room. And the guys were up on the roof trying to get some of the snow or ice off the roof. And it happened to be that they were banging during our prayer meeting. And I remember my girlfriend, Diane Schneider, she wasn't married then, she turns to me and she goes, Tom must be trying to fix your boot. So that was my very first introduction. I think the second time I came was on staff. I worked in the palace, and Brother Paul was the head cook. Joking around with him today, I said, maybe we should try and get you back in the kitchen. So I was a waitress back then, and Brother Paul was the head cook. And I think after that, I was a counselor. That's where I met my best friend, Betsy Lehman. And it's funny because we always say to the young people, when you come to camp and you make a friendship, it could last forever. Mm-hmm. I have been friends with Betsy. I was figuring it out. We're going on almost, I think, over 40 years that we've been friends. She was my maid of honor at my wedding. She is the godmother of one of my children. And you know what? It's lasting. And I'm thankful also for the many, many, many meetings that I have sat in this place. The presence of God, all those years. And I'm thankful for God's faithfulness. I'm thankful for the Word of God that has been preached from the pulpit. I'm thankful for the ministers and the saints of God that I have met over those years. I think of, boy, there's a lot. Alice Reynolds Flower. People wouldn't know who that is today. Brother Wanamaker. Just different people that I have been blessed to know myself. But I'm so thankful for my very first time being at camp. And it has just grown. Now I love to be here all the time. And I'm just thankful to God for all the blessings. And really, I'm just grateful for His faithfulness to this place. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. It has been the theme song of camp, I think, almost from the inception. And I'm grateful that God endeavors to change us to become more like Him. And that in that time frame, He changes us within, that we can show the light of God and the love of God to others.
Thank you,
Lord. Just have to thank the Lord for the 8 years, how camp was such a big part of even my heritage. My uncle was part of the first group that ever came to camp, and my mom came 2 years later, 1948. I know I don't look 35, but that's okay. But it was such a pivotal part of my mom's life. My dad came later to the Lord and camp, and it just molded, you know, who she was, too. And then I got to come as a camper every year from, you know, 6 to 15, and then got to waitress. And when I graduated high school, you know, I came up to work for 2 weeks and stayed for 7. And it was one of the best summers of my life. You know, I did my goal. I went to the island. But the same day, I had allergies so bad, and Sister Ann said, you don't have to go to service. But I was like, I didn't want to miss, because services were so powerful. And I made it through service, sneezing and blowing my nose and all that, and Sister Ann kept saying, you can leave, you can leave. So I left to go to the bathroom, and I'm walking back, and the window's open, and Brother Gordon was just, the power of God was so strong, I was like, I got to go back in. I can't leave this. And so came back in, and that night I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know. And it was just, you know, learning about the power of God, it just even sitting in his presence, how much could happen. And nobody prayed with me. I got on my knees. And it was an hour later, and I was like, what just happened? You know, it was just the presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong that it drew me right in. I couldn't even go to bed. It was whoop, back in. And that's what I learned. And it has helped me through my whole life, you know, to understand how important the presence of the Holy Spirit is, to just sit in his presence, to sometimes be quiet in his presence. As a kid, I didn't get it. Like, why are we sitting here so quiet? You know, but it was just waiting for the Lord to lead. And what a heritage. I mean, I just can't thank God enough for this place. This was just, you know, I was one of the campers that cried when we were leaving. You know, I never wanted to leave. But it just, I love Pilgrim Camp, love coming back. And it's just been just such a part of who I am.
I came to camp for the first time in 1975. Now what happened, how I came to camp, was I just started to go to Flora Park Church, and Brother John was probably in the same Sunday school as my children, my two girls. But one day I got a call at home, your children has won a trip to camp. So I think it was fixed. So I said, where is it? They said, where it was. I said, well, I can't send my kids to a place that I don't know anything about. I have to go with them. So I got my husband to drive us to camp. And I've been coming ever since. I missed 2 years. I just love camp so much. It's been a great blessing to me. And there was a time also that I was going to a church. I changed churches. I was going to a church, and they were going off, you know, teaching other things, when you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. But camp has given me part of my foundation in Christ, because I said, camp, they don't change. I mean, the sermons are different, but they don't change rules and things that we do. So it really has helped me. Mm-hmm. And throughout the years, camp has been a foundation of Christ in me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
I have to stand very fast. In 2010, Sister Thurda invited me to Pilgrim Camp Gathering on the Labor Day retreat. By that time, I had been attending church for more than 10 years and had already baptized in Holy Spirit. I have traveled to many well-known international Christian conferences around the world, at the Toronto Vineyard, I witnessed gold dust and even people receiving gold feeding tubes. I also attend meetings led by Pastor Benny Hinn, Pastor Yongpi Chow in South Korea. Although those conferences brought change and encouragement to my life, and I experienced many of God's miraculous signs and wonders, I have never heard about waiting on the Lord or pursuing the inner life in Christ. During that Labor Day retreat in 2010, however, something was completely different. I experienced an indescribable peace deep down in my heart. I fell in love with that kind of gathering. As I looked around, I noticed there were only two Chinese members CLM, CBMC attending. I pray to the Lord Jesus. This gathering is so wonderful. After everything I have experienced before, nothing compares to this. There must be many, many Chinese and the Taiwanese people who also need to know. So I pray that they, the Lord, to open the door for Chinese people. The next year, more than 100 people, 100 Chinese comes from all over the world attending the conference here. Till now, almost every year, all the people, God let them praise Him altogether. At that time, I had never heard of waiting of God. I did not truly understand what is meant to my life in His presence, and I had never heard of Pastor Chow or JMI. But I knew one thing with certain, for sure, God loves me, and Jesus also loved Chinese. After I returned to Taiwan, I shared with many pastors, brothers, about this wonderful holy place. That autumn, I could clearly sense that God continued His work in my life after I returned. The very first thing the Lord wanted me to change in me was the way I spoke to my two daughters, not harshly. I was a single mother, but He also knew how limited I was and how difficult it was for myself to be gentle and a patient mother I want to be. In His faithfulness, God gave me His real and intimate presence. Through His presence, He transformed me in my heart so that my children would not carry unnecessary wounds in their heart as they grow up. I realized that the greatest and most precious gift I could ever give them was not simply my love, but to help them personally experience the Lord and learn to follow Him. Now every summer I have the privilege to return from Taiwan to this place where I made a covenant with God.
I was a 7-year-old in the cottage that cried. Thought I was a silent crier, but Sister Antia heard me, and I'll never forget. I learned how to pray in Sunday school. Sister Elsie was my Sunday school teacher. I had many amazing people who taught me how to pray. But I came to Pilgrim Camp as a 7-year-old, and I cried. And I remember Sister Antia coming in the middle of the night, and she said, what is your burden? So I shared. And she taught me how to lay my burdens down. So as a 7-year-old, I learned that it's okay to talk to Jesus and tell Him everything. And I know it's been mentioned, I think Brother Paul mentioned it, we don't know what these little ones are going through. My mother is a God-fearing prayer warrior. My father didn't go to church. So it was always a battle. That was my word. I was always worried about my mother as a 7-year-old. But Sister Auntie holds a very special place in my heart. And I know that Brother Andrew mentioned it. Talk to these children, love on them, because I remember the special things. Being on the van on my way to Ridgewood. Sunday school moments in the cottage, having Sister Martha in the village as my counselor. Pilgrim Camp is a very special place. And although as I got older, a teenager, moved to Long Island, didn't go to church in Ridgewood, before I found Flora Park, I wandered, and here I am. So those that have been asking for prayer for their children, have faith, because you have prayer warriors, and just keep asking God, and don't be afraid to reach out, because especially here, there's so many people that just are prayer warriors and raised up here, and I'm just thankful for Pilgrim Camp.
Yeah. we'll hear some more testimonies along the way. But it would be good, Brother Paul, if you could share with us some of the facts and figures and history of camp. Some of you may be newer. You don't have a long history here. Some of these things are fresh. You hear stories of some of the ministers and things that have happened and those who have ministered and preached and led here at camp, and you have no idea who they are and who we're talking about. That's okay. But Brother Paul is going to share a little bit of those stories and history.
Before I do, I just have a page and a half to read. I'm not going to take long. But before I do this, I'd like for us to pray for another gal. I think she may have been one of the first ones, so I may have misspoken the other day. I'm not sure. I'm talking about Marie Salvia Calora. I think she was the second year, but I'm not positive. But she's in the hospital right now, and she needs prayer, so I'd like us to unite for her. Dear Lord, you know, dear Sister Marie, how she loves you, how she has served you, how she has brought up her children to love you and serve you. And we pray for her now in her need. Lord, we unite in faith for her because we know that you are able. You are the good shepherd that cares for his sheep. And so, Lord, we bring dear Sister Marie before you, and we pray that you would touch her, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The second thing I'd like to tell you is that I will be referring to Hans Waldvogel. He is the founder. You probably have heard his name. Now, all the little Waldvogels running around these days are not from Uncle Hans. Uncle Hans was a bachelor. We called him Uncle Hans respectfully, actually, and he liked the title. But his brother was the one who is the great-great-grandfather of many of these of the Waldvogels that you know. We have, how many Waldvogels do we have? We have two there. Any others? Oh, yeah, Ian's a Waldvogel. And you know many more. At any rate, so the Hans Waldvogel that I'm going to be reading about is the founder of camp. He came to Ridgewood to minister to a very small group of German people many years ago, a little mission. And the Lord blessed him, and he has many stories about those early days. But it was he, and you'll hear about him, okay? Gordon Gardner is the one who wrote what I'm about to read. Now, Gordon Gardner is another name that you may have heard. He and his wife Caroline were the first directors of camp, and they had quite a ministry in Ridgewood. Brother Gordon comes from Zion, Illinois, and so did Sister Caroline, and they had a ministry at Ridgewood. She directed a choir, and he was very instrumental. He founded Bread of Life. He started the magazine Bread of Life. But anyway, when the opportunity came for a ministry upstate here at the camp, they were put in charge, and so they were the first directors. So let me read this now. In 1946, the beautiful 34-acre tract of land at the head of Brant Lake in the Adirondack Mountains, formerly the summer estate of a wealthy New Yorker, was purchased, and Pilgrim Camp came into being. The earliest beginnings actually occurred years before, in 1939, when Hans Waldvogel, pastor of the Ridgewood Pentecostal Church, suggested to several of the young men that they take their Sunday school boys camping at Lake George. After the success of these trips, which continued annually there for several years, Pastor Waldvogel planted the idea of purchasing some land for camp use. Sometime before, he, that's Uncle Hans, had received a substantial amount of money from the sale of a house he had purchased before going into the ministry. He had given the house to his parents when he entered the ministry, and on their death, the money returned to him, but he felt the money should be used for the work of the Lord. On March 26, 1946, Edwin and Edith Waldvogel, Carl Saylor, and Gordon P. Gardner went up north scouting for a site. They looked at various properties on Lake George, but did not find anything suitable. Finally, they were put in touch with a real estate agent from Warrensburg, who suggested they look a little further north on two possibly suitable properties. The first site was a camp on Friends Lake, a little couple of miles north here, south of here, and it was inaccessible due to the winter thawing. The second property was part of an estate bequeathed to a Manhattan hospital, I believe it was Montefiore Hospital, the trustees of which were negotiating the sale. When they arrived on the grounds of what is now Pilgrim Camp on Brant Lake, the surveyors had begun to divide the 34 acres into smaller parcels, since it had been on the market for so long with no prospective buyers. That was during the World War II, and there wasn't much money to be spent for vacation places. Later, after driving Pastor Waldfogel up to see the property, and after much prayer, it was decided that they would make an offer of $15,000 for 34 acres of lakefront. The asking price was $25,000. Gordon Gardner recalled the day they received an answer. He had just left the Faith Home in Woodhaven, where the Gardners had been living at the time, when the call came. Caroline Gardner took the message. The estate trustees would not accept the offer of $15,000, but they would accept $18,000 cash. This counteroffer was accepted, and things began to move in earnest. While the legalities were in process, we were given permission. This is quoting Brother Gardner. While the legalities were in process, we were given permission to do work on the exterior of the property, providing we did not sleep on the grounds and that we did no work inside the buildings. Gordon remembered that. It was during this period that Edwin, his brother, Arthur Waldfogel, Charles Hufflander, and Carl Saylor stayed off grounds and did a lot of the needed work. The understanding was that if the deal did not go through, they would not be reimbursed for any improvement expenses. On July 1, 1946, 80 years ago, the closing took place on July 13th, 1946. The first group of boy campers arrived. And that is the beginning of Pilgrim Camp in a nutshell. Amen. And how we thank God for that. Wonderful to hear all these testimonies, and I'm sure there are many more. Maybe tomorrow we'll hear more, Brother John, of what the Lord has done in this place. I know he did a lot for me in this place. I can't even begin to tell you, coming here as a little boy, and what God did for me, and then as I grew older. And I just knew I was going to be here. Never in this role. I never aimed to be a director of camp. Never once entered my mind, actually. And the Lord worked it out. But besides that, God has done a lot of things for me within, and I'm thankful for that.
We will have some of the others who have prepared, and we want to hear some more of those testimonies. We'll do that tomorrow morning. For the sake of time tonight, but we do have a special song that we'd like to sing by a not-so-famous trio. Come, Brother Peter, Brother Jeff.
Found me. feet step above the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely prepare. Surely goodness and mercy